Welcome to Informed Aging, a podcast about health, help, and hard decisions for older adults. I'm Robin Roundtree. I'm a former family caregiver, worked in home care for 4 years, and now work for Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center. With me is my co-host, Edith Chendron, Chief of Operations for Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center, a positive approach to care certified trainer and consultant, a former family caregiver, and over 30 years of experience in the senior care industry. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Informed Aging belong to Edith and I, not our wonderful employers and sponsors. If you do want to get mad at us and not at them. Before making any changes in your life or your person's life, please consult your own experts. Today, we're going to talk about grief. Don't shut us down yet. But as we age, this is something we deal with more. So let's learn about it and how maybe we can do it a little bit better. We're going to be right back after this.
Senior Helpers is the only home care agency offering a revolutionary new way to approach senior care, the Life Profile Assessment. This data-based app is a crucial tool in helping seniors age safely and successfully at home. Combined with our proven in-home care programs and trained caregivers, Senior Helpers Life Profile is leading the way to better outcomes for our clients. For more information, log on to seniorhelpers.com.
For over 37 years, the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center, ADRC, has served as a Central Florida-based grassroots nonprofit and community resource center. They are dedicated to providing support and hope for families and individuals caring for someone they love who is living with Alzheimer's disease or other dementia-related illnesses. ADRC empowers caregivers with the knowledge, support, skills, and strategies they need to help them confidently prepare for the challenges that lie ahead. To learn more, visit the website adrccares.org. We are back, and today we're talking with Beth Davalos. She's with Sunshine Senior Counseling. She's a licensed clinical social worker and has been practicing over 30 years. She's done inpatient, outpatient, in the hospital. She's been on 60 Minutes twice as an expert. She knows her stuff. She's practiced in the United States, internationally, and right now through Sunshine Senior Counseling, because of telehealth, you can practice throughout the state of Florida, but you are right here in Central Florida, and I'm so glad you are. Thank you for being on the show, Beth.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, and thank you for all the wonderful work you do as well.
Oh, thanks. That was nice. Now you're just going to get nice, easy questions.
Oh, yay. Thank you so much.
Right. So grief is one of those things that if you haven't been through it, it's hard to help someone who's going through it. So let's start with some easy things.
Yeah.
Because we probably know, if we think, someone who's grieving either from a loss a year ago or recently. So people do some things that they think they're being helpful. And usually when I know someone who's had a recent loss and it's their first big grief, I usually say, please be forgiving to the people who talk to you, because they're going to say really stupid things.
That's true.
Like, everything mm-hmm. happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me feel better.
Right.
God just needed another angel. Doesn't make me feel any better. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go, I don't know what words, and there aren't really any words to make you feel better, but I'm here, and please let me know what you need. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have?
I think that's wonderful. I mean, just being there, being present, and being open. Like, I think that people want to be validated. They want to be heard. Just listening, maybe reflecting how hard that must be.
Yeah.
Not to minimize what they're going through. And, you know, those comments that we hear, you have to realize that the person that's telling you that, they are feeling quite uncomfortable too, and they just want you to feel better. They want to feel better.
Yes.
So they're going to think of, like, the best answer they can think of, like, okay, let's think of the bright side of this. And really, it's just kind of stopping and being present and just validating how difficult it is, and supporting them and where they're at that very moment.
Yeah. And it did, I know for me, with the death of my mother, I needed to talk through the actual nuts and bolts of what happened that day for me to process it. But it's hard for me to sit down and say, hey, friend, can you listen to this really sad and disturbing story I need to tell? But the right people will be there for you. And it's usually someone who's been through grief that can be the biggest help.
Yeah, you want to have a team. You want to have a team approach and thinking about having several people, because you may want to share your story several times. And, you know, thinking about your audience, and you want to be thinking, well, am I speaking to my daughter about this? Or am I speaking to someone that understands? Like, you just want to be selective, because you don't want to walk away feeling like, oh, did I just burden them, or did I just say too much? And so having a team of people that you can think of that that you can express these things can be very helpful, and to and also like a plan of, you know, maybe can I talk to you about this, and setting up a time that they'll be available. So setting up something that's going to work for yourself.
And I think it was very helpful to me that a friend put the date on her calendar, so she would always know when that was coming up. Because Edith and I both know, like, the whole month that we lost our mothers, life is just not what it normally is the other 11 months of the year. So to go, hey, listen, I know this may be a hard day for you, you know.
I love that.
Talk about it?
And that is called anniversary on grief. Okay.
So griefiversary.
So if you can also speak up for yourself, and you can say to your friends, hey, this is the date that's coming up. Can we plan something? Or could you reach out, like, to speak up and let people know what you need? Because we don't know.
Right.
Everyone's different, and there's no right or wrong.
No.
And so identifying that ahead of time is sometimes helpful. But then sometimes things pop up that you're not even aware of.
Yes.
And that's okay, too. So if it's a last minute call to some, you know, to reach out to someone, that's, you know, but it's about verbalizing your needs to others, too.
Yeah. And I think in the United States, we're very much don't talk about death. Like, we want the funeral to be over, and then we want everybody else wants to move on, and the person who's grieving is not moving on. So it is, society's not helping us out with that either.
There's a, early on, in my mind, it is what I've called the nightmare phase. This is a nightmare. I'm going to wake up, and this isn't going to really be happening. And then, of course, you realize that the nightmare is your reality.
Right? Yeah.
So, and that might be a little strong for those who know what's coming, but it's not always really strong. When you said something about what can I do to help, I've always found it really comforting for someone to say, you know what, don't worry about the dog, I'll walk the dog, or guess what, I'm bringing you over a 10-pound ham, you know, that actually happened, right? Or I'm bringing over casserole tonight, Robin's bringing over something different the next night, the third night somebody else. Maybe that's the Italian heritage, I don't know.
No, I had a meal train set up for me, and it was the best thing, because there's no way I was going to be able to make a decision on what to eat and how to get to the grocery store and not cry in the produce aisle. It just was not going to be able to happen.
Because, you know, Mom loved beautiful lemons, and aren't these beautiful today, and oh my gosh, don't walk down the pasta aisle.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it comes out of just about anywhere. We were talking about things not to say and platitudes also. And my son was maybe 3 or 4, and we were in the car, and we were talking about death. And I said, thinking it would be a comforting thing to a little kid, well, you know, they say that when someone you love dies, they become a star in the sky. Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
You know what he said? Terrified. You mean all the stars are dead people?
Oh, God. Yeah, you wouldn't think
mistake,
of that. Yeah, whoops.
Right? Now try to backpedal out of that one. It's like, well, they say that. I don't know that it's actually, you know, okay. So, yeah. And people think they're helping, and no, and it's God's will. And I'm sorry works.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. If you're a hugger, a hug.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, we always, when we see someone in pain, we want them to feel better. And we're trying to find that perfect way of saying something. And the reality is that people don't really remember what you say. They remember how they felt.
Yeah.
And so just being present, bringing the food and sitting with them.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone say, and in a different context, but still an unexpected death of an infant, try not to take it so hard.
Oh.
How hard would you like us to take it? You know, you know. But you're right. You remember some of the odder things, but grief, it's there.
Yeah. And there's not just one kind of grief. Like, just losing a person to death, that's the grief that we mostly think about. But there are other kinds.
Mm-hmm. There are many types of grief. There's at least 16 of types of grief.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's okay. What have I missed out on?
So, you know, there's the grief, the anticipatory grief before just learning about loss, you know. But anticipatory grief to go in a lighter sense, we've all experienced that in the sense that maybe you're working at a job and, you know, you're going to get laid off soon. The business is closing. Mm. That's a form of that's a form of grief. And so it goes to normal grief, to delayed grief, to, when you just don't feel anything, to complicated grief where you might get a medical diagnosis that you need, mental health support because it's just really affecting you physically and emotionally. You can't move on. Mass grief. I mean, there's so many different types of grief, but basically it's a feeling that it's overwhelming and you're mourning someone or something and you're struggling with it. It's big feelings. You know, and when we think about grief, it's like, okay, I'm going to help you get through this. I'm going to help you get past it. And, you know, in my perception, I don't really, you know, we tend to think of it as this problem that we're going to get through. And it's grief is something that we learn to live with and carry. And it's very personal. And still learn to grieve that loved one and also live and find happiness, too. It's this balance in which changes over time. And there's just no right or wrong. It's a process.
And so when that grief gets in the way of living your life, that's when it's time to reach out for additional help?
Yes. I think that is, well, as a clinician, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if someone finds it, they are not, it's impairing their function. They're not operating the same and it's been a period of time. There is nothing wrong with speaking to someone about it who's a professional. We're trained in this. This is our passion, what we want to do to help other people. And so to reach out is a very healthy thing to do.
It's a life-changing event.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is. One of the things, that's the right word for this, that I found the most difficult to adjust to was the thought of who will I be now? Mm. Now that my person and that relationship, whether it was parent or spouse, is gone, who will I be now? And you have to almost redefine yourself in some ways, especially for our care partners, yep. Right? They wake up that next morning and all the work they were doing, all the love they were sharing, what am I going to do now? And I remember a daughter saying that to me. 18 years she had cared for her mother at home. Her mom had Alzheimer's disease. And she called me and she said, what do I do with myself now? What do I do this morning?
Right. Right. It's learning that new role. And, having that, you know, when you learn that someone has dementia, we start to grieve our role or what, you know, there's so many big emotions that happen. And it can be a very lonely place because it's not the normal grief, right? Mm. We thought we had one grief. No, right. There's 16 of them. And anticipatory grief is a hard place because other people don't necessarily understand what you're grieving. What do you mean? You just found out, you know, your mom's fine. She's in the other room. Like, what do you,
know? Nobody brings you a casserole.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, for anticipatory grief, yeah. Absolutely. And it's knowing when you have an ongoing disease like Alzheimer's, that is a terminal illness. So this is coming to an end and being with that terminal illness and knowing the end, it's tough.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Because I think in some ways, and I know you do too, loss, I'm thinking of my sister-in-law who died of a very, very awful form of cancer, but also my brother-in-law who died of complications of young onset Alzheimer's disease. And it's these series of losses that, or changes, you know, we try to be very positive, but grief is grief and loss is loss,
right?
That kind of pile up on those shoulders.
Yeah, it is. So anticipatory grief is one kind. Mm-hmm. You have a delayed grief. So if your coworker has lost someone close to them, and they come into work after the funeral and they're in a good mood, are they grieving wrong?
There is no right or wrong. And I really encourage people not to judge themselves or others, and just it is what it is. That's where I'm at. And when, you know, we can talk about the different stages of grief, you know, there's anger, bargaining, denial, depression, acceptance. I mean, but the truth of the matter is, if I was to show it to you on a piece of paper, it's everything. It looks like one big scribble of feelings that pop up everywhere. And sometimes they're negative. Sometimes they're positive. Sometimes they come out. We're just unexpected, you know, when in the middle of your laughing and it turns into tears. Like, and that's what grief is. But not to judge.
Yeah. It doesn't go in a nice even line. Where you're like, I'm going to be angry today. I've got acceptance planned 3 weeks from now. Yeah. It's all going to be great. No, it doesn't do that.
And it doesn't. Don't be surprised 5 years down the road when, with less frequency, yes, but when something out of the blue, like that perfect lemon in the grocery store hits you and wow, you're struggling for control again, you know, anniversaries. For me, I'm still a little angry that my mother could still be alive given her age. And I was just thinking the other day, once she clears 100, maybe I'll think, okay, well, you know, she it's impractical now to think, but you know, people are living to 104 102, and I'm still angry that she didn't get to live into her 90s, you know.
Yeah, so I know. I get that. I have you know, friends or parents are 97 and they're just starting to fail, and you're like, I'm going to need a moment to work up some sympathy for you because, you know, I never had a parent in their 90s or their 80s, you know. Yeah. So, There are always those little reminders. We're better at, you know, not expressing them meanly.
And we had a conversation very, very recently about the new medication, lecanemab, right? And there was a little bit of anger there. It's like, oh, now they find something that can help.
Right.
Now that my person is gone. So that's a kind of aspect of grieving. Yes, no, maybe, Beth?
Sure. I mean, it's, let's not even label it. That's a feeling. You know, that's an intense feeling. It's anger. And so, you know, when we, what I like to do is these feelings will pop up. So you really want to keep in mind having that self-care plan. Okay. So one is the self-care plan is, oh, there it is, and noticing it and not being scared of it. Learning to, you know, open the door a little bit to those feelings and just kind of, you know, I like to think of feelings like a cloud. They come and they go and they change.
I like that.
So, yeah.
But you can't just shove them away.
Sometimes the wind comes and they go faster. Yeah. Sometimes it rains. I don't know. Right. And that's okay. But then also having that grief plan. And so when I feel sad, I can do these things. I can talk to these people. I can think about these things. So having a plan of action for yourself that you know works and feels good, it helps you for that moment. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But you have, you know, something that you can lean on.
Sometimes it's a little surprising. At least I found that for myself. My mother was an incredibly devout Roman Catholic. And I cannot claim that for myself. But on those days when it's really hard, I head to the Basilica here in Central Florida because that would have meant something to my mother. And so it's kind of corny to say, but kind of in memory of her because I know it would have meant something to her.
Right. And those are those rituals that help us, you know, that's why we hang on to them for generations, because it does remind us of the people that we've lost and how we used to celebrate, you know, oh, no, you get up on Christmas morning and open presents because that's how he's always done
how
it.
You do it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's honoring them.
Yeah. I was speaking to a friend. It wasn't a client. It was a friend today that had lost her son recently. And she was just feeling you know, she has very strong faith, and then she was questioning, like, I'm having trouble trusting God right now, and you know, less, just allowing her that space to really, you know, questioning her faith, sitting with that, and she has to go through her process, respecting that, allowing her to say it and not judging her for that, and then her talking about, you know, going to a wedding of her son's friends and how it was going to be really hard, but it's something that that she feels her son would have wanted. And, you know, once again, giving her that decision, that's her decision to make, you know, kind of like looking at both sides, but that's helping her. That's going to give her strength. I mean, that's what she needs. You know, she feels that pushes her through. So once again, like everyone goes through their own process and accepting where they are at this very moment.
Is it fair to say this?
Yeah.
Please tell me yes, because I've been known to say it. whatever you need to do during any period of grief is what you need to do short of hurting yourself.
Yes, short of hurting yourself or if it's impairing your function. That's when you want to make sure that, like, yes, you do what you need to do until you're being self-destructive or self-destructive to others. Then we have to be like, okay, let's evaluate how you're dealing with this and figure out alternatives and, you know, why, you know, sometimes people feel a lot of guilt and they're punishing. And so what are the underlying factors? And sometimes there's a story behind that, understanding that piece. And that's more for the professional. Like if you're finding that yourself, it's a complicated grief. It's been going ongoing for a long time and it's getting much harder. And, you know, that's when we would want to find out a little bit more and help that person. There's probably some underlying issues too.
Yeah. And I love that the professional, you're not there to judge. You're just help them get through it.
Understand, right? Because they don't even understand. They're just reacting.
Yeah.
It's so big. It's so hard. It's, you know, it's, I think of grief as part of love.
Yeah.
Because grief is an expression of love. If we can kind of adapt to that.
Love hard, you're going to grieve hard.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
So maybe embracing a little bit of that. This is, you know, showing this is how we love. I mean, this is really important work because we cannot get through this world without going through grief. Like it's just part of life. It happens to all of us. And
that is. And I don't know if you ever knew her. She's no longer here in Florida. She's moved into a different state. But Allison Issen was a grief counselor for a hospice that is now renamed. But anyway, she used to say that the only way through it is through it. And nobody can do it for you.
Right.
They can be with you.
Right.
But they cannot do it for you.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty profoundly accurate.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We want to
avoid
it.
We all want to make it better for everybody, right? And you can't. And I think when you accept that as a true and loving friend, then you are the most helpful.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kindest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you can't do that, just drop off a few casseroles.
Yeah, just, you know. I am one of those people. Give me a job.
Right.
You really want me to be occupied. Otherwise, I will drive you over the edge. So, yeah, I'll do the meal routine. I'll do the laundry round robin, so to speak, what have you.
Right.
I'll mow the lawn. Give me something to do where I feel that I'm contributing. One thing before we move off the topic. This was said to me, and a sample size of one doesn't tell us anything, but, don't worry about the children. They're resilient. I have evidence of two children who have made their lives, their life's mission, a result of their early loss. So I didn't see where they were resilient. Yes, it's all well and good. There was no resilience there. There was deep-seated, lifetime-abiding hurt. So what do you say about children and grieving?
Excellent question. I'm so glad we made time for this one because, yes, children mourn, and you really need to be thinking about, is it appropriate for this child to go to the funeral or not, or what's their own grief look like? How are they going to say goodbye and let them have their process? I'm also a registered play therapist, and I've done a lot of grief with children in the sand tray, you know, with toys, and that's the children's language. That's how they speak. And then we also want to keep in mind about secondary grief, which is they may have lost their mom, but now they lost their school too, and they had to move. And so looking at the whole picture and how it's affecting them.
Oh, that's just so good. It's so good that it's something so hard, but there is help out there to
good
get
help.
You through it. There is good
there
help.
There is good help. Yeah. Yes, there is.
Yes. And also, let's bring up losing pets. I think some pet owners, non-pet owners, don't understand like the Facebook post of somebody, but unconditional love is hard to let go of.
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, like, all, you know, that's another area that people don't, you know, really. I mean, Orlando, we are animal lovers here. Yes. And I think that we recognize that more. But there, you know, many people don't. And so that there are ways to also celebrate the lives of animals and, you know, going to a shelter or starting a foundation or, you know, some type of nonprofit or volunteering time. But there are ways to help with that as process to feel like you are, you know, you said before, Edith, you want to feel like you're doing something and thinking about that loved one, what was important to them. You know, if you played catch, maybe you want to just take a bunch of tennis balls and drop it off at the shelter. You know, thinking about those old sheets you have and what you can do to honor your animal.
Yeah, yeah.
You said it earlier, Beth, and it bears repeating, that grief is more than the loss of a person, a human being, a loved one. Grief is the loss of anything they had meaning to you that was important. It could be a job, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly a pet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Beth, you have helped a wide range of ages from age 3 to 104, I think was what we agreed on. So if someone needs your services, how do they find you?
Well, they can just reach out to Sunshine Senior Counseling. They can give us a call at 407-401-9020. Or they can find us on, you know, they can look up our website at sunshineseniorcounseling.com.
.com.
Yep. We do serve all of Florida. We do in-person visits in Central Florida and virtual visits throughout Florida.
And I'm sure you're an amazing help. Thank you so much for being here, Beth. We
Thank
really
you
appreciate
you.
SunshineSeniorCounseling.com. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast, Informed Aging. Tell your family and friends about us, too. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/informedaging. Send us an email, informedagingpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was recorded at Digital Broadcasting's podcast studio. That's it for now. We're looking forward to our next visit.